Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone. From the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana, this is Larry Batson. Man, what happened to my voice? Oh, this is going to be fun. We have a great show planned today. Our good friend Jim Nessie, all the way from Illinois, is going to be joining us. We'll be talking alligators, and it's going to be a fun show. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, the beautiful knotty pine paneling, which I've told you, Dr. Day, makes wonderful acoustics. From the Wild World News headquarters, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. I'm sorry you're a little under the weather this afternoon.
Well, you know, that sort of thing happens sometimes.
And I want to thank you for that great piece of art, Panama flora and fauna. It is beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I know that you'll give it a good home.
That I will. It reminds me of when I lived in Panama. Beautiful thing. Yeah. I just wanted to thank you.
Well, you're very, very welcome. So are you and the staff ready to go?
I think we better. We need to get Jim on.
Okay.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, if you hear anything in the background, the African Grey is in the recording studio with me, so you're allowed to hear anything. We're going to start the news out in Washington, D.C. Now, this is going on all across the United States. The National Zoological Park has closed its gates in the District of Columbia. Why is that? It's the latest victim of the government shutdown. But thousands of animals still need to be cared for. There's pregnancies that need to be monitored. And as you could guess, Mr. Batson, there is a lot of animal poop to be scooped. Yes. Now, more than half of the employees at the zoo and its associated conservation biology institute, they'll continue working there at the zoo to make sure everybody gets taken care of.
Well, they absolutely have no choice on that. And then again, too, they're animal people. So, you know, it's been
and they're in cages. So they can't take care of themselves very well. No,
well, you know,
you have a – go ahead.
No, I said the same thing's happening in the national parks. They're having employees are not getting paid for cleaning up trash. People are bringing trash into the parks. It's ridiculous. Don't get me started.
Yeah, that's right. It's a whole nother, you know. But anyway, aren't you a professional poop scooper?
Yes, I am. Anybody that has that professionally.
Yeah, and you have a lot to care for.
Yeah, my wife and I have a PhD in poop scooping.
Yeah, you have to with that many animals.
That's right.
All right. Now, listen to this dirty story. Turtle no longer feeling eel. Isamadora, Florida. A loggerhead sea turtle that required surgery to remove a 2-foot-long dead eel from its body cavity has been nursed back to health and it was released back into the waters off of the Florida Keys.
Good. Good story. Those are the kind of stories.
Well, kind of lost you there.
I said, those are the kind of stories I like.
Yeah, that's a good story. But can you imagine? I imagine the loggerhead went to eat the eel. swallowed it. The eel wasn't quite dead, latched onto the inside of it, and passed away, which probably clogged up, you know, the rest of that story. Well, anyway, we're happy for the loggerhead.
That's right.
All right. We're off to Anniston, Alabama. Now, federal officials are putting a fish whose habitat is threatened by a development in the southwestern United States. They're putting it on the endangered species list. Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is adding the tri-spot darter fish to the list. Now, the fish can be found in the Coosa River watersheds there. Now, this is a beautiful little fish. We have them here in Indiana, the darters, quite colorful. It'd be a beautiful aquarium fish, but as soon as you take them out of nature, they lose their color.
Yeah.
But anyway, we hope the best for this little guy.
Outstanding.
Hey, do you want to check out the chicks in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Well, yeah.
All right, small and fuzzy, two blue penguins hatched just in time for the new year at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden.
Cool. We love the Cincinnati Zoo.
That is correct. And two fuzzy little blue penguins. Pretty exciting. It'll be a little while before you get to see them. But when it's time, go check them out. Now we got another baby story here. Now get out of here, take that drum, and beat it. Norfolk, Virginia, the Virginia Zoo has a new set of bongos. Yeah, two baby bongos were born on December 26th.
Very cool. I love those.
That is pretty cool. You want to tell our listeners what bongos are?
They're an antelope species from Africa. They're really cool.
Really cool. Spiral horns. Really beautiful animal.
Yeah.
So when it's time, go check out the babies.
Well, that's right.
All right. Are you sure you've searched everywhere? Cutter, Arkansas. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says a small snail native to the state is now presumed extinct. The Ozark crig hasn't been confirmed in the state since 1915. They believe this tiny snail has disappeared. Well, we hope they're wrong. That's why I ask, have you searched everywhere? You know how it is. You can't search everywhere. Let's hope these little guys are still hanging out.
Let's hope so. You know, they can't search everywhere. There, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is get a team, get out there and find these little guys so we know they're still alive.
That's right.
All right, we're off to Lincoln, Nebraska. The University of Nebraska Lincoln entomologist Brett Radcliffe has named three of his eight newest beetle discoveries after the dragons from the HBO series Game of Thrones and the book series by George R.R. Martin. Now, I'm not really familiar with the Game of Thrones, but Brett Radcliffe has discovered all these new beetles, and one of them is a scarab. And I'll try to do these names. They're named after the dragons on the show. The new scarab beetle is, the species is named Dragoni regali versurioni. Yeah, why? I don't know why, but anyway. It's exciting to know that we have a new eight species of beetles. All right, the next story is something to crow about. Cape Coral, Florida, after a month of rehabilitation at the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife. Okay, Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, known as CROW. Yeah, they found an adult male bald eagle in November who was injured. And in the last few days, they turned him loose. He flew off. Everything is fine. Another job well done by the Clinic for Rehabilitation of Wildlife, known as CROW.
Cool. Good for them.
So you like poop stories, do you?
Poop stories? Yeah.
I got another poop story for you. Picture, if you will, Somerville, Maine. Lights, camera, poop. That's the premise of a new reality series featuring a woman who is locally famous for making creations out of moose droppings. Yeah. Mary Winchenbach and her wife, Deb Nichols, are in discussions with TNT about bringing their art to cable television.
You know, while you're reading this story, my thoughts are to the east in England. Former lead guitarist of the Kinks, Dave Davies, would think about this story.
Let's talk to Dave. Dave, what's going on about the Kinks?
Well, how about that? I got the story. You guys, you do this to me every time. I can't believe you do this. You pick out the strangest story in the bunch and you always throw me right in the middle of it. I'm going to tell you one time, I have a pet hedgehog, and they leave these nasty little... Well, I thought I'd try to make something out of them. I made my brother Ray a necklace. I didn't tell him it was hedgehog poop. He still wears it.
Oh, I have nothing to say.
Dave, you never cease to amaze us. Thank you, Dave, for that little bit. All right, we're going to do some local news now. Now, we're kind of torn between, this is a hard thing, but it must be done. Now, hunters are disappearing here in the state and all the other states too. So efforts are underway to reach out to groups that typically are not associated with hunting, including women, youth, urban residents, and college students. Now, why are they doing this? Well, people aren't hunting and fishing as much as they used to, and that creates a problem. Without the hunting and fishing license, we can't staff our state parks with wildlife officials, game wardens, and such. So, although we're against hunting wild animals, to keep our parks safe and the animals under control and the people, we have to sell hunting and fishing license.
For a lot more money.
Yeah. We need to come up with something to take care of these rangers, wildlife officials.
Well, you know, think about it, though. A fishing license is not a very expensive thing to buy for the amount of one's entertainment and chance to be in the outdoors. So, this is more money.
Yep, it's all well worth it, though. We need to keep our parks open.
Absolutely.
Well, it's that time of the show that you hate more than any part of the show. Guess who's gotten older?
Oh, tell Jim. Jim Nessie.
Yeah. Well, I'm 71. I'm old.
So I think you'll be able to play along with us. What we do is I'll give you a celebrity's name, and you tell me how old they are.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Batsky hates this game. He loses every time. He's never won a game. And after you're done, we'll tell you what you've won. All right, we're going to start off today. Now, we all remember Woodstock. We're going to talk about Woodstock a couple of times during this process. Singer, guitarist, Country Joe McDonald of Country Joe and the Fish. Tell me how old he turned this week.
Larry,
Jim,
tell him.
No, my guess is I will say 75. Jim's in deep thought.
I have no idea.
Well, those no ideas have won before.
Take a stab at it, Jim.
Okay. I'll say 78.
Well, see, there you go. Country Joe turned 77 on January 1st.
I hate this game. I hate it.
Well, see, there we go, starting off. Now we got. I know you remember.
I hate this game.
Next guess. On who's gotten older? Don Novello. You remember who Don Novello is?
No.
No.
Father Guido Sarducci.
Oh!
From Saturday Night Live. That's Don Novello. Father Guido Sarducci. Now, how old do you think Father Guido Sarducci is?
I'll go first again. I'll say 68.
All right.
I'll say 70.
Well, he turned 76 January 1st. So, looks like Vince got another one. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that either. Okay, now, you both got a good shot at this one. Singer Stephen Stills.
Oh, no, I don't.
All Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I'll say 71.
Oh, man, I'll say 75.
Well, looks like Jim got you again. He turned 74 January 3rd.
You know,
that's 3-0. All right, maybe do better on this one. Bassist John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin.
I'll say 70.
Yeah, I think he's older than that. I think he's like 74.
Well, you're just about right there. He turned 73. Oh, that's 4-0.
Sorry,
Larry. All right, let's do one more, and we'll be done with that. Andy Summers of The Police.
I hear from my advisor, 66.
Oh, I would say he's 68.
Well, he actually turned, I didn't believe it either, 76.
Oh, man.
December 31st, yeah. Yeah, well, James was closer on that one, so he was at 5 out of 5. You didn't get one of those right, Batson, not one.
Mind me. I hate that game. Tell him what he wants.
That's why you hate the game. Well, Jim, since you won, guess who's gotten older? You get to be on the show again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. All right. I got a couple more things before we get out of here. We're heading off to Renton, Washington. Iconic guitarist Jimi Hendrix will have a post office near his hometown named after him. The Seattle Times reports a bill was signed into law rechristening the Renton Highlands Post Office to the James Marshall Jimi Hendrix Post Office.
Cool. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
That is pretty cool. And if you go to check out the post office, watch out for crosstown traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, 50 years ago, while we're talking about Jimmy, Bethel, New York, we got the 50th anniversary of Woodstock coming up in August. Now, finding a place to stay for the 50th anniversary may not be a groovy experience. Yeah, many of the hotels, beds and breakfasts, and Airbnb rentals are already sold out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so if you're planning on going, take a tent.
Well, yeah, we'll think.
All right, if you've still got a Christmas tree, wildlife officials are recommending people use their old live Christmas trees to help animals. Old trees can be used for erosion control and as for cover for small animals like quail and rabbits. And you can also take the old trees, sink them into lakes to become artificial reefs for fish. But before you do this, check with your local wildlife officials before you go sink a tree into a lake. But yeah, let's try to reuse our Christmas trees. All right, let's get on with the fact of the day so we can get Jim on. We're talking pygmy sharks. Pygmy sharks are among the tiniest in the world. They measure an average of 8 inches in length and they can make their own life, which could be very helpful. Well, that's the wild world news for January the 6th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. I want to remind everyone, the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there. Artists and their classic recordings, best of ELO, Little Richard, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands and thousands of recordings available for download. Or, hey, you can just go to the site and listen to the music, no charge. An amazing music collection, the best musical site, the SRI. Jim Nasty is a fellow fox educator, one heck of an alligator handler that hails from northern Illinois. Traveling across the country, he spreads his very important message of wildlife conservation to thousands. He's joined us this week talking alligators, conservation, and our hero, Steve Irwin, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Larry. Yep. I'll tell you what, I was very blessed. Steve Irwin was a dear friend of mine. When he came into the country, he called me. We worked together all the time.
Well, then you're full of good Steve Irwin stories we want to hear today, then.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you. You know what the thing that was so great about Steve Irwin? He wasn't a phony. He was the same guy off camera. Contagious enthusiasm. Every show we did the Oprah show. We did Leno. We did Regis and Kelly. We did Animal Planet. We did Extra. Everything that we did. And, in fact, I had the awesome opportunity to go out to California. And at the time, Steve got a private jet for me. And we flew from, of course, you know, Chicagoland here where I live in this area. And flew out to L.A. And I was there for the premiere for Steve Irwin's movie Crocodile Hunter Collision Course.
Yeah.
And at the time, my big gator Bubba greeted all the people at the door when everybody was coming in to see the film.
Wow. That's a pretty strong PR message there.
Oh my gosh. And my original Bubba, unfortunately, he had died about 14 years ago. And now I was, most of my animals, over 90% of my animals are all rescues. So I do a tremendous amount of rescue. This is what I do. You know, I take in snakes and I've taken in tortoises, I've taken in lizards, and of course, you know, crocodilians. I have a state permit here in the state of Illinois, so I have to make sure that if I bring anything in, I have to contact the state right away and let them know, you know, what's going on. So I have they call it a herptile permit. And now the big gator I have now, I call Bubba the Legend Continues. He's over 10 feet long. He lives in my home here. I built him a big condo in the basement. He's got a pool. He's got a land area. And he listens incredibly, and nobody believes it when I tell him how amazing he is. When I tell him it's time to go to work, he comes out of his pool, walks across the basement floor, walks up 13 stairs, and he sits in the laundry room. Then I open up the door to the garage, and he goes out and sits in the garage. And I'll look at him, and I'll say, hey, buddy, we got to get to work. Guess what he does, Larry? He gets up, walks to my van, climbs in, and lays down.
That's just amazing. Of course, we have alligators as well, and their intelligence is unbelievable. Not only what you said there, how they recognize different people and so forth. And it's extraordinary, just extraordinary.
Well, yeah, and he remembers every venue that we do, he remembers. It's just incredible. You know, I hear it all the time, and I know you've heard this. Oh, they're primitive animals. They have a little brain. They have the brain the size of a walnut. I go, so what? We got a big brain. We don't use it. I said, Einstein was a genius. He used 11% of his brain. What is the average guy driving down the road using? That's my question.
Yeah, that's true.
That's scary. Yeah.
They're intelligent. And, you know, I'm unfortunately, because of, you know, I do about 400 programs a year. So I do a lot of programs, and I'm at schools, I'm at festivals, I do all kinds of events. And I work a lot with special needs kids. And when I tell Bubba to get up and walk, he walks and sits down with all the special needs kids so they can pet him.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to do different now than I did about 4 years ago is the state of Illinois passed a new law. And they passed the law because of me. They were worried about copycats, somebody copying me and something going wrong. So now I put a band on his mouth when he's near somebody.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make him bite if I tried, and that is a fact. When I work with him, he purposely holds his head up high, and I go, give me a kiss, and I kiss him all over his face, Larry. And he's big, like I said. He's over 10 feet. He weighs more than 300 pounds. And right now he's off food because this time of the year he automatically goes off food, even though his pool is 80 degrees all year round.
Right. How big was Bubba when you first got him, Jim?
He came in as a rescue 14 years ago at 32 inches long from the Chicagoland area when I brought him in.
Wow. He's been eating good.
I assume you handled him from the very beginning. You'd have to. I mean, that's.
Well, I brought in, I had a group of gators here. And out of the group, without a doubt, he was the class valedictorian. He was the one that I knew was going to work out because I am a behaviorist. I've studied animal behavior since I was a kid. 1952, I started working with reptiles. 1958, I started working with crocodilians. I've been doing this my whole life.
And you have to be so devoted to it. I mean, God love my wife, because it's nothing when you're dealing with that amount of animals and so forth. It's, as we say, we're never done.
No. It's always, like you said, a lot of poop scooping, a lot of cleanup. You know, I'm always, you know, doing something. But the big thing is get the message out there. You know what I do? Here's the big thing that I do when I do my program. What do you notice? The first thing, people are afraid right away of snakes, and they're afraid of gators. These are the animals that they're afraid of. And what I try to do is educate the public on how important snakes are. First of all, people don't even understand the value. Snakes are disappearing everywhere. Mm-hmm. I live on 2.5 acres here. I'm on 2.5 acres. I encourage wildlife. Unfortunately, the area that I live in, at one time, it was all, you know, just, it was all beautiful. There was a big reserve across the street from me. Well, that reserve, they converted that into a big residential area. And what happened is they changed the water table. So now I got water running in my yard nonstop. All the animals have disappeared. The garter snakes have disappeared. The ground squirrels, the voles, all the animals are disappearing. And I believe that it's pesticides and weed killers that's killing so many of these important animals.
Well, the frogs seem to be the barometer for how our environment's doing. And the frog population has dropped significantly around the world. So that pretty much, you know, tells us what's happening in the environment.
But you take a look at all these cities, rat populations are exploding. And I always ask people, how often do you see a garter snake around your house? And 99% of the people say they're gone. We never see them. That is the first big problem. And I made a prediction, and it's going to happen. The bubonic plague's going to make a comeback. It's going to happen. You can't keep killing all these animals off. Animals are disappearing everywhere.
Yeah.
Very
sad. True.
You take a look at, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but take a look at, you know, you hear all these animal rights groups, and I always tell them, what are you doing about the elephant? We're losing 30,000 elephants a year to the ivory trade. The gorilla's disappearing. The rhinoceros. The tiger will be gone in less than a decade. That's the way things are going. What are all these groups doing? You know, I try to educate the public, and a lot of times I get criticized for, right away, using animals for education.
Yeah, that's, I know, especially in the eastern part of and up and around your area, that would be, we found, though, that people they encourage us to do that. I mean, because our good friend Jim Fowler always said that for these young people that want to say something, there's nothing like being able to look it right in the eye at that particular type of animal. And with programs I've been doing for about quite as long as you, 40-some years.
Over 40 years.
We've seen it because, as you know, I've had several people that have gone on and become veterinarians and wildlife officers and gone on into fields that working with animals. In fact, one of our first vets, he told my wife one day, he didn't tell me, that when he was in high school, he saw our program. And at that time, he was trying to make the decision on what he was going to specialize in medicine when he went on to college. And he knew at that point it was going to be exotics. And now he is the Ed met at the Buffalo Zoo in Buffalo, New York. So we need to do it. You know, I think there's more people by far that support what we do than not. I mean, I think the percentages are much higher than we realize. And making these young people want to
put on a big program every year called Wild Fest. And I work with a guy, you might have heard of him, John Basil from Big Run Wolf Ranch. I work with John, and we put on a whole program about, you know, education, about, you know, we have to understand animals and like animals. And that's the first thing people need to learn, and learn the need, you know, how important they are. You look at what's happening with people that are moving down to Florida from the East Coast, from the Midwest, and they're moving down. And right away, when they see an alligator in a lake behind them, they go nuts. You know,
yeah.
And the gators, I mean, come on. The gators have been there, as we all know. You know, the crocodilians have been around since before the time of the dinosaur. They're so important to the environment. You know, all of them.
Yeah. Well, Go ahead. Now, what I was getting ready to say is we had an instance here in Indiana where a feline rescue center here, they had a mountain lion escape.
Right.
And it had been seen periodically around the area. But we were told that that particular mountain lion that had escaped was not human imprinted at all, that he was totally wild. In fact, the inspectors from the government, they'd not really seen it yet because it always hides in its enclosure. So it has been spotted near a school. So the school superintendent called me and says, what do you think about that? I said, well, it's just one cougar. I said, just think about this. And I knew the origin of the cat because it was wild still. It wasn't imprinted. I said, there are some bus stops in Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado that have significant mountain lion populations, and you never hear about it either. Anyway,
right.
Thank you. I know what to tell the parents. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Jim Nassy here on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This Is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful night, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the fellas go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging, sure he's mellow. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving. Take the A-train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This Is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
And reminding everyone that the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. They make it possible for us to be on and have these wonderful guests like today, Jim Nassy. Of course, Shelley Leibowitz always sending up some new music. Remember Frankie Valli, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe it or not, he's still at it with a new tune right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wow.
Well, it could be a connection problem. Man, that's too bad. Well, Henry, great show.
Yep. As always, hey, the Frankie Valli thing.
Yeah.
I had to know how old he was, so I looked him up. How old do you think Frankie Valli is?
I don't know. No idea.
I was floored. You got 85.
Wow. My goodness.
That's right, yeah.
That's phenomenal. My Lord. Well, Jim, thank you very much.
Well, hey, Larry, I got one for you. I got one for you. Okay. You ready for this?
Sure.
I was in Elkhart, Indiana, doing a big show at a retirement village, okay?
Yeah.
And there was a lady there. She was 105 years old.
Yeah.
And guess what she did? She rode Big Gator Bubba.
Oh.
She rode him. That's got to be a world record.
Yeah, well, that probably is. I wonder if Guinness.
You should have seen how gentle he was with her. Oh, my God. It was like he knew she was 105. He was as gentle as could be.
That's fantastic. Just fantastic. Dr. Day, great show.
Hey, Larry, I got one more story for you. Ready?
Okay.
My original Bubba, okay? This was probably 20 years ago, at least. I was down at a Navy Pier in Chicagoland, and I had him on display, and a mom walked up with an autistic boy named Sammy, and she proceeded to tell me that Sammy didn't speak because she wanted to let me know that if I talked to him, he would not respond. So anyway, after about 45 minutes, little Sammy held the front foot of Bubba, looked in his eye, and started talking.
Wow.
I looked at the mom. The mom started crying. It was incredible. It shows you the power of animals. And you never know what will turn that switch on. Well, guess what happened? About 10 years passed.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into the mom at this Fun World place called the Odyssey Fun World. And this mom walks up to me and she says, "You probably won't remember me. I was down at Navy Pier with a little boy." And I go, "Sammy." And she goes, "Oh, my God, you remembered." I said, "Oh, my God, how could I forget?" Sammy walked up to me now. He was tall. He put his hand out. He shook my hand and he said, "Jim, how you doing? How's Bubba?"
Wow.
And the mom said with a tear in her eye, "Nobody even knows that Sammy's autistic." Hey,
that's incredible.
I tell you what, that made my everything of what I've done and what I've accomplished, that did it for me. It was incredible.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that doesn't bring a tear to your eye.
Oh, my God.
Maybe two.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great show, Dr. Day.
Thank you. We're going to have Jim back here soon.
Absolutely. He did win the
Guess Who's Gotten Older.
I know. So that's why I have to make that happen.
Well,
let's figure out time.
Larry probably won't invite me back now.
Why is that?
Because I won.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy.
He's used to losing, so.
Uh-oh. Well, I want to thank you for letting me be on the show. What a great show, and thank you very much, guys, and have a wonderful, wonderful, and safe New Year.
You too, Jim. God bless you.
Thank you, Jim.
Finish
God bless you.
Here I am, Barbarian Set on SRI Records.
Here I am. It's the only thing you should know, that I'm here.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Wild Talk Radio.